win Frankenstein's money? Or is it Frankenstein? We'll not be heard at this time, so that we may scare up the following.
This is Gordon Pepper, and if you're watching the Yankees-Dodgers game, Game 5 of the World Series, it is scary. And since I don't like how this horror story is almost certainly going to end, hey, Chico, let's talk game shows.
Okay, I would love to do anything but watch baseball right now. All I know is, at least I have college basketball to look forward to.
We have a problem on Drag Race, which we'll get to. Jeopardy has a problem retaining championships. And someone has a problem because of someone else on Survivor.
Yep.
And we're going to review a new show on Amazon Prime called Buy It Now. And since it was Gordon Pepper's birthday last week, we talked about it last week. We're going to do it this week. Gordon, did you get the Panama hat?
I did. It looks fantastic. I'm going to change the affiliation of who that person votes for, so sorry. But yeah, we're going to go.
Yeah, now, I have it on good. I have it on good authority that Jason's mind is malleable.
It is very malleable.
That authority be, of course, Jason Block himself. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get into it from somewhere in America. WLTI with the birthday boy is on. Let's go.
Welcome to the World's Strongest Game Show podcast. It's our latest episode. My name is Jason Block, your strength and conditioning coach. All-around good guy. I am here with my brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander, and the birthday boy, Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well, hope you are.
We are,
okay, sir.
Yes, but, Gordon, we have a problem.
I don't think we have a problem as much as I think we have a cordial discussion, because there's a difference of who wins if. And you can make an argument that the winner that won deserved to win. For all the reasons why, prophetically, and I say prophetically, not pathetically, prophetically, why, if you look at it, there is only one choice to win.
Well, what?
So, Jay, let's do the recap, and then we shall discuss.
Recap. The finale of RuPaul's Global All-Stars, the queens wrote their own verse and participated in the music video for the song Dance Like the World is Watching, and the category was called Best Drag on Earth for the runway. All the queens rocked the runway one last time. Swada Muse was crowned Miss Global Peacemaker, a.k.a. Miss Congeniality. The top four lip-synced individually to Bad Romance by Lady Gaga. By the way, her new single rocks. Check it out. It's called Disease. And the runners-up were Queen Kong, Mehelenia, and Kitty Scott-Claus, with Alyssa Edwards becoming the first Global All-Stars champion. And congratulations, she wins $200,000. Now.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. Now, Gordon. Tell me why either she deserves one or why we don't have the problem.
I don't think we have a problem. And you can lay out an argument. You can lay out a number of arguments here. Now, as you know, I'm a huge fan of Alyssa Edwards. She was my favorite on season 5. She's been amazing. She's done a lot of give back to RuPaul's community. She's done everything except win. And this has actually been the first time that she's made it to the final episode in any series that she's been on. Now, sentimentality and schmaltz aside, there is a number of reasons why she deserves the win. Number one, yeah, she didn't win the most, but she won two behind everyone else's three. And one of which she shared with Queen Kong, so theoretically it's 2.5 to everyone else's three. Actually, okay. No, I'm sorry, no, it's 2 to everyone else's three. Number one. Number two, she never showed up at the bottom. She was never in a low category. So she was safe all the way through. Traditionally, if you don't wind up in the bottom, you win. Or you get very close. Number three, she did not, and again, we're talking Miss Congeniality, and we're talking about, I wouldn't say image redemption makeover, because she really didn't have that issue. But from an editing standpoint, blame it on the edit, Katie Scott Claus and Queen Kong, let's just say their claws came out. So yeah, they got claws. And they were sort of mean and nasty to the point where, you know, getting the vibe from the people watching, they didn't want to see either of them win. And if you're going to stick Alyssa versus Nalenia, Nalenia really didn't do that much. She was sort of like the Roxy Andrews of this season. She got out of everybody's way. She won one challenge, but she wasn't close to winning the other ones. So could you say that Katie Scott Claus or Queen Kong deserved it? Maybe. Can you put them heads and shoulders in front of Alyssa? No. And I believe that was the point. If anybody stood out big enough, didn't make the mistakes and played a perfect game, that they should have won immediately, then that's one thing. But, and I'll say this from the last episode, because the last episode, I thought, you know what? I thought she played well enough. I thought other queens deserved it maybe a little bit more. I thought Katie Scott Claus was going to win. But that last episode, if that was the final episode, that episode goes to Alyssa Edwards. Hands down, she blew everybody else away. So I'm not sure the other queens lost it as much as she took it and she won it. If you really paid attention to that episode. And I know you did.
Yeah, but don't you think Global All-Stars has issues that they need to fix?
Oh, I think they had a lot of issues. They it's global, but it was Americanized.
Here's the thing, and again...
No, and we discussed this, Chico, give me one second, and then I'll give it to you. It was very Americanized to the point of English in there. You can't convince me that all the songs that we used in lipsticks were global. They weren't. There needs to be changes on this in terms of next season. Because it really needs to have more of an international flavor. Even like Canada versus the world, the UK versus the world, have more of an international flavor than this.
Yeah, and I was just about to speak to that because I'm taking a cue from Vulture, and I happen to agree with it, but it seems that this whole season has been basically pandering to RuPaul all season. RuPaul has always loved playing to stereotype, as it were. They always thought it was, you know, playing to stereotype, made for good comedy, made for good television, whatever. When you compare it to, like, Canada versus the world or UK versus the world or whatever, there was a whole lot of playing to RuPaul's audience, playing to RuPaul herself, playing to the American audience, if that makes any sense. Because let's face it, we as Americans have lizard brains.
It's not about the lizard brain, Chico. What it's about is that if you're going to have a show like Global All-Stars, it is supposed to be global. This was RuPaul's Global American All-Stars, or American, you know, sorry. They treated the foreign queens in a secondary role, and that's why this was not as good as some of the other shows. Sorry.
I agree with you. I agree wholeheartedly with you. And it borders on the whole global thing is secondary to what we usually get for a drag race. It's like, how do we play this? Oh, we'll play the stereotypes. That'll work. It didn't. So there you go.
I think you're being really esoteric here. Because I think I'm going to agree with Jay on this. I think it's much more of a, it's global. We sort of expected a little bit something more global.
Yes. And it borders on xenophobia, and that's not a good look.
No, it is.
By any stretch of the imagination.
And honestly, for a show as landmark as this, and this show, and this whole franchise is indeed landmark, I expect it better.
So, on that note, we move to the island. Chico, help us out.
All right, so we are on the island, and here we are. It's our first post-merge sort of tribal council. Let's see where we are from here. The new tribe, Sol and Andy, they discuss what happened. Where did that vote from Andy come from? And what was otherwise a group decision to get rid of who we got rid of? And just to let you know, this is the last vote tonight. This is the last vote before we assemble a jury. Just to get that out of the way.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on. The next immunity challenge we had, it was a two-parter. We're splitting the new tribe into two teams, a yellow team and a blue team. Winners get immunity, plus baby back ribs, potato salad, corn on the cob, beer, and soft drinks.
Ah, the Survivor barbecue, pretty much.
Yeah, and a twist that we will talk about later. So we're drawing for teams. It is on yellow, Andy, Genevieve, Sam, Sierra, Saul, Teeny. And on blue, we have Caroline, Gabe, Kyle, Sue, and Tiana. The individual players have to stand on a balance beam while also balancing a ball at the end of a pole while holding a pole over their heads. But instead of straightforward endurance, the winning group will watch Tribal Council but not participate.
Okay. Interesting.
And the person that lasts longest in the losing group will have individual immunity, and the person voted out doesn't make the jury.
Okay.
So, the person who lasted longest on the losing tribe was Kyle. So we know that the blue team lost and the yellow team won. So Kyle is immune. Now we go into the reward feast. All six of them were guaranteed to see the end of the game, at least as a member of the jury. Everybody was happy. Gata and Lavo seem to strike a tete-a-tete here. And on the losing side, Rachel wants to have time with everyone to see where heads are, while Gabe is eyeing her as a major threat. So, is Rachel a threat? I don't think she's a threat.
Well, but here is the twist. And this is a big one, actually. Okay. So, Sol, looking around, found an advantage we've seen a few seasons ago called the take your pick advantage. Okay. Sol gave that advantage to somebody from the losing team that would either choose block a vote or safety without power. Now, Gordon, what's safety without power?
I absolutely love this advantage. Safety without power means that you cannot get voted out, but not only can you not vote, your safety is there because you get to leave tribal council. So you don't get to see anything. You don't get to see what goes on. You don't get to see who votes. You play it, you leave, bye-bye.
Okay,
So, there's one more part to that twist. It is only good for this round.
Right. Okay.
And Rachel was bequeathed it by Sol. Rachel disclosed the contents to the advantage that Sol gave her, and it would be safety without power. She must now leave Tribal Council immediately, leaving the other five to vote. But also, she is safe from elimination, but she does not get a say into who goes home.
Okay.
Which is just as well, because it went all out for Tiana. 4-1. She's eliminated. And frankly, she is not taking it well at all.
Thoughts, Gordon, on that one?
It's nice to see people playing with emotion. This felt like when I saw that, I'm like, huh? And then for me, it makes more sense. It's more of a social play. She does not have the same social bonds, and more importantly, the bonds that she does have are in negative power, where they think that she could be very influential and against everybody else that's currently in Tribal Council. That would be why she'd go bye-bye.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, when Rachel revealed the twist, she was at a loss for words. I mean, you could tell her game has been blown up all of a sudden, and now she has to think about, okay, what do I do now? Who do I put on the block? What name do I put out? Turns out she puts Gabe out. I don't know where that came from, but there you go.
Okay. All right.
So Caroline and Sue, they're not going to break up their little thing. Kyle gets the whole "I'll do whatever I want" sort of thing. So Caroline, Gabe, Sue, Kyle, 4 votes.
And there's that. Next week, first member of the jury, right?
Not only that, it's the return of the auction. So a little something to look forward to. Who knows? You might get food. You might get an advantage. You might get both. Who knows?
Or you might get totally boned.
Or you might get totally boned.
Well, that's kind of like the way the champions are going on Jeopardy. Hit it, Johnny.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
All right, before we get into the Wheel of Champions, we need to talk about somebody who is playing their fifth game on Monday. And we actually talked about him last week. That would be one Will Wallace, who goes into Monday's show, $79,998, richer, facing off against Ian Taylor out of Cleveland and Heather Ryan from Binghamton, New York. Going into the final of that match, Ian has $17,400, Heather has $9,800, Will has $8,000. So Ian's in a good spot right now. I'd much rather be Ian than any of the other two. Let's go into Final Jeopardy. The category is stage musical settings. Oh boy, I love this. Here we go. Turned into a Nazi headquarters in 1933, the night spot El Dorado is said to have inspired this fictional place.
Oh, me, pick me.
Jason.
The musical was Cabaret. The place was the Kit Kat Club. What is the Kit Kat Club?
Wow. It's like you're in my head. Gordon?
What is the Madison Square Garden side lounge buffet?
Whoa. Low-hanging fruit there, G.
I know, but it's my birthday. I will go after the low-hanging fruit.
Ah, fine. Okay.
Well, now that you put it that way, it is the Kit Kat Club. Congratulations, Jason. You proved to be the smartest of the three of us again.
Mm-hmm. So, Ian, goes in to Tuesday's game, loses to John Liu, who, on tonight's show, goes up against Joseph Karlstein and Jackie Kaplan.
By the way, Joseph Karlstein, Tar Heel in the house.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Monday's game, a little rough. After Double Jeopardy, John had 7,000, Joseph had 10,000, Jackie had 6,000, 8,000 going into this round, and the category is artifacts. The clue. Roughly, 180 of these were made, and 50 remain. The man who created them was given a pension by the Archbishop of Mainz in 1465. Now, my correct answer was, well, at least my what I thought was the correct answer was Fabergé eggs. But Fabergé is French, not German.
I thought they were Russian, but anyway.
Okay. Well, a lot of them were given to Russian emperors, but still. Okay. Still.
Yeah.
The correct answer is, what were the puppet master statuettes?
No.
You ever see that movie series? They're German. They're from Germany, man.
Yeah, I know. But
the Driller, the Sergeant, you know.
I know. But Chico, what's the real correct answer?
The real correct answer, what are Gutenberg Bibles?
Correct.
If you looked at the name and the looked at the date, it makes perfect sense. And I'll tell you right now, John had it, but Joseph had it bigger. He wins $16,001, and it turns out John and Ken met each other before.
Right, because what was it? The best game show, best trivia show ever, right?
Yeah, I want to say season zero of Masterminds.
Pretty much. So, but yeah, there you go. So what's next on the docket?
Next on the docket, okay, it's not Christmas yet, but we're going to do a little shopping.
Okay.
Okay, so Prime Video has a new show called Buy It Now. It's based on a UK format that has absolutely nothing to do with Amazon, but Amazon brought it over to the US because, obviously. JB Smooth's your host, and what this basically is the world's best beats Shark Tank with one person per episode getting $20,000, and here's how we do it. The person with an invention has 90 seconds to pitch it to 100 audience members who are sitting next to a beacon. They can flip it green if they like the pitch. They can flip it red if they don't like the pitch, keeping in mind the 5 P's of the pitch.
Preparation prevents poor performance, please?
No. Pitch, product, popularity, problem-solving ability, and potential. So if at least 10 of those lights are green, they go on to the panel, which features Amazon exec Carmen Nestares Pigazello, Goop entrepreneur and Hollywood big shot Gwyneth Paltrow, and Jamie Siminoff, who was denied on Shark Tank his invention, which just so happens to be the Ring doorbell.
Really?
True story.
Wow. Okay.
Nobody wanted to pick up the Ring doorbell. He invented it, and it turns out he came back as a guest shark.
Or a guest judge in this case.
Yeah, well, he's a regular judge on this show. And if they get 2 out of 3 yes votes from the panel, it goes to the Amazon Buy It Now store. And of course, they get to choose one person to win $20,000. The best pitch overall, in their opinion.
This sounds like so freaking convoluted, number one.
We're going to start with the bad here. It sounds very convoluted. What is one of the rules of business? Kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Ironically, this show fails to adhere to that advice.
And number
it's almost sort of like, well, we have this idea that another company have, and we need to make it a little bit different so we can get by standards and practices.
Something like that, yeah.
So how about this? This is Shark Tank if you bought it on Temu.
Good job.
Temu Tank.
Okay. Because it seems to me it is the exact same premise with a few little extra sprinkles on there, and it doesn't seem to work.
Yeah, it's very, the format's very busy. That's the word I'm looking for. It's busy. It should be simple. I mean, Shark Tank excels in its simplicity, but this basically decides to overcomplicate things. And then we have JB Smooth. JB Smooth is one of those guys who is a panelist on everything, hoping to come up with a format to call his own. He's going to have to keep looking.
Smooth, not smooth. It's smooth.
That's what I said, smooth.
Okay. It sounded like smooth to me in my head. Sorry.
That's because when I talk, I sound like a moron anyway.
But it just seems to me that they were trying to get a Shark Tank-like program on Amazon, and this is what they got.
Yeah.
Gordon, York.
Gordon?
You guys said it the best. It's very convoluted. I give them points and credits to try to make something their own. But I liked some of the stuff that they have. I didn't mind the lights as much. Though, when you're looking at it from an idea standpoint, you shouldn't necessarily have to even have 10 people. You only need one person to get behind it and to do something with it. So, you tried. Nice try. Here's your cookie. D.
Yeah. Buy it now. More like buy it no. Got him. D.
Yeah, it is. It's a D for me. Amazon has better stuff on the pike. They'll find their hit eventually. This ain't it.
Yeah. Remember, they still have two more. They still have two more game shows and the rest of the season of Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? So, yeah, we're not done with the Prime Video glut of game shows as of yet.
No, we are not. What's next?
What's next? Oh gosh, if you're a fan of Wheel of Fortune, this was the week to be watching because we had a jackpot winner. This comes courtesy of Sony Pictures Television. This Brent person, Brent Miller of Pocahontas, Arkansas, a barbecue judge. By the way, he wins a trip to Coconut Bay. So we're looking at about $20,704 in cash and St. Lucia trip. And his categories of choice: food and drink, thing and phrase. Obviously, he goes for food and drink. Here's what happened.
Hopefully some more money for you, Brent, tonight.
Oh.
First, I see a nice couple over here.
Yeah.
Who's this?
That's my mom and dad, Scott and Sharon.
Nice to have you. How about your boy tonight? Doing all right?
Yeah. Pretty impressed.
Okay. Go ahead and give the wheel a big spin. Let's try and get you some more cash. $100,000, $75,000 on there. Where will it land? And it will be the A. Okay, Brent. Let's get to it. You chose food and drink. As you know, we're going to give you the R, S, T, L, N, and the E. And then you'll add to it. So that's what we're going to start with. Now I need three more consonants and one vowel.
C, G, P, O.
All right. Vanna's going to find those. Not bad, Brent. Okay. Be very quiet in the audience. Let's let Brent try and figure this out. Food and drink. You have 10 seconds, my friend. Good luck.
Hot, large topping. Hot fudge topping.
You got it. That's it. Are you ready for this?
Brent, you made your family proud. Here's $100,000.
Nice to meet you. You did it. Good to have you with us. Take a look up there. $120,704.
Okay, $100,000. How about that, huh?
That's great, but you know what? Ryan Seacrest has had two $100,000 winners in the span of a few shows.
Yeah. You want another one?
Yeah, you know what? It happened tonight.
It did, and it happened to Ryan Burkett of Pinellas Park, Florida, who, like Gordon, is a bowler. We love bowlers around here. I'll tell you right now, so far he has taken Wheel of Fortune for $22,300 in cash and trip. By the way, the trip is to Portugal. And his bonus round categories are phrase, person, and place. He goes with place. Here's the clip again. Sony Pictures on the call.
All right, Ryan, who is here with you tonight rooting you on?
My beautiful mother, Kim, and my best friend, Mark. Let's go, Big Doc.
Mom thought it was a spam email,
she
too.
Did,
huh? Well, here we are.
There's no spam, mother.
And the bonus round. Give the wheel a big spin. Good luck. $22,300
to
Portugal. I'm trying to add to it. And we are going to land right there. Ampersand it is. Come on down here. Okay, you chose place, Ryan. We are going to give you the R, S, T, L, N, and the E. Take that deep breath. Take a look at what's up there. Not a bad start. Need three more consonants and a vowel.
B, C, H, A.
All right. Let's see what happens. So, Ryan, we're going to give you 10 seconds. I feel like you may have a good idea here.
I do.
Go ahead.
I'd like to say hello to Grandma watching at home, and the answer is local bakery.
That's it! I want to show you something. Come on, baby! Come on!
Ryan, aren't you glad you went for it? Here's $100,000.
Congratulations! Turn around, take a look at all this.
It's such a pleasure to meet you.
You want to hear your grand total?
I do.
$122,300.
pulling a John Carpenter and says hi to his grandma before nailing local bakery, I believe the puzzle was. And he's got over $100,000. And Ryan Seacrest is giving away $100,000 just like Pat Sajak did a couple of years back, 3 in 6 shows. Remember, G, that week where Pat Sajak did his
game? Yeah, I remember it was, I think it was 3 in a row, wasn't it?
It was 3 in a row. It was 3 in a row, and everybody was just making an absolute joke of it. So, yeah.
So, congratulations to that. And I think, Chico, either you or Jay asked me a couple of episodes ago, when is Seacrest going to give out the million? And the answer could be sooner rather than later if we keep this up.
Indeed. I mean, giving away tons cash.
Yeah, it's a big F. Remember all of the hoops you have to go through in order to get to play to the million.
But we have to end on a sad note, and actually this is one of the funniest ladies in Hollywood. Terry Garr passed away this week, and she was in Young Frankenstein, and a bunch of other films. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis about 20 years ago, and that took her life this week. At the age of, I believe, of 77 or
79.
But I remember she was on a ton of game shows, wasn't she?
Well, she was on a handful of game shows, but here's the thing. She was actually a regular on one of them. She was on 2 episodes of Jeopardy, Celebrity Jeopardy. She was on The Weakest Link. And she was also on, she was on 2 episodes of Jeopardy, she was on The Weakest Link, she was on Hollywood Squares, and remember when Oxygen first started, it was not yet in its true crime era?
Yes.
They were just basically, let's start a woman's network and see where we go from here. One of the shows that was in its original era was a reboot of I've Got a Secret. Terry Garr was a regular on the panel. This was Stephanie Miller hosting I've Got a Secret.
Oh, that one. Not the, who was that other guy?
Bill Dwyer.
Bill Dwyer, yeah.
Yeah, but there was a reboot of I've Got a Secret for the Bill Dwyer one. Yeah, Stephanie Miller hosted. Jason Kravitz, Amy Yazbeck, and somebody else was on the panel with Terry Garr. And one of the, and there's actually clips that exist online of the show, and one of the clips was with mystery guest, original host of I've Got a Secret, Steve Allen.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know what? Anytime you get to see Steve Allen on television is pretty cool.
Yes. So,
can we have a moment of silence, please?
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, we're going to take a bit of a break. Still to come, Gordon, it's your birthday, buddy, and you know what that means. God
yes.
help us.
I get to have fun. You toss me tomatoes, and I either lob them over the fence, or I take a bat and splatter them all over yourselves. But first, it's all the news you needed to know. You didn't realize that you needed it. Stick and stay over here with WLTI. I'll let Chico do the plug. But we'll give you 22 minutes.
And we will give you $220,000 that is flying off of the wheel this week. Oh, there's some more money right there. How about that? Oh, Ryan's just getting his work in. I hope he paid him in advance.
Yes.
We'll be back after this.
Yep.
Thank you. Why vote? Because the ballot is like a menu. And the items, choices for the future of this country. Your vote, well, that's your receipt. Proof of what you ordered. So you got to make a decision for what's on your plate. City council, state governments, the president. Politicians are chosen based on your vote. More votes, more representation, more orders for what you want. The federal government takes care of things like foreign relations and Medicare. Your state, responsible for education and justice. Your city, concerns like police budgets and housing. Voting is how you make sure what matters to you matters to them.
Brain Vision News is presented by Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. It's the official snack of one Deontay Johnson. Oh, wait. I got a break. Yeah, he's leaving for Baltimore. So I guess he gets...
That is Kentucky Fried Tar Heels, Ramsey's to write.
He gets to escape the Kentucky Fried Tar Heels for... Baltimore blitzes because holy cow, have you seen how the Ravens are playing this year?
Yeah, they're good.
This is why you signed King Henry.
Exactly. So on that note, Gordon, if you would please.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can listen to Doug Morris on Rock 104 Rock Tracks every Sunday as he hosts Rock 104 Rock Tracks on WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial, or all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com. That's a live stream, and odyssey.com and rock104 apps. And also, please don't forget to follow Doug on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at rock104 Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Production.
Okay. Do we have a bat that's got some sort of breath analyzer on it to see what Chico's been drinking before the show started today?
I have not had a drop, okay?
It's business. Business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh,
it's business. It's business time.
Okay, so Deborah Norville, we all know who she is. She is the host of Inside Edition and has hosted ably for the last 20 or so years. But it looks like she's looking to branch out.
She's hosting a show called... I believe it is, here we go. It's called The Perfect Line. This is from Variety. It's in the works at CBS Media Ventures, the same company that gave us Flipside, okay? According to Variety, they're not saying anything, but a pilot was shot this August and they're eyeing fall 2025 for a launch, okay? They're saying that this might be a companion piece for Flipside. It's a trivia game that involves questions about world events, pop culture, sports, but they are given a category and then a range of events, items, and people order, such as arranging six actors in the order of the worldwide box office gross. That if they create the perfect line via that correct order and try not to be eliminated, the last person standing plays a final round for a chance at the minimum prize of $10,000. Now, I remember a game like this. What was that game on GSN a little while ago that did this?
Wintuition on line one.
Thank you.
Yep. Hey, I'll see your Wintuition and raise you history IQ. Because this is the end game of history IQ writ large.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a good...
Either way, I personally think it could work if the execution is correct.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good idea. It's a good format. It's solid. We just need to see what it looks like in practice. If the execution is there, then it's there, you know? But speaking of things...
Yes, definitely. Jason, do you have a gate book?
I do. Just give me a second. I am actually pulling it up right now. Tomorrow, as well, actually, it's now tomorrow. It's Finding Mr. Christmas on Hallmark Plus. That's a recent ad. That's sort of a reality competition to find a Hallmark movie actor, right?
Yeah, let's just say Kids in the Sky are looking for Father Christmas. Jonathan Bennett is looking for Mr. Christmas.
Oh, God, that's why he's there. Okay. Whose Line Is It Anyway? On Friday has Grace Byers and Greg Proops. Sunday is the premiere of Holiday Wars, and on Monday is the Holiday Baking Championship. Tuesday, you know what to do. Go vote. And the season premiere of Love Village is on the same day. And Wednesday is Love is Blind Argentina on Netflix. But let's talk about Dad Apto. Now, you posted this to us. There was a little animation that was popped. An original holiday animated special called Michelle and the Dragoons.
Yes, it was an extension, obviously, a Halloween-y video from RuPaul's Drag Race, which I thought was cute. Michelle obviously being Michelle Visage. If you can figure out the cameos, and there's a bunch of them, you can figure this out. It's cute, it's funny, it's inoffensive, it takes a couple of jabs, but it's really very inoffensive. You could do worse.
Yeah, the log line is, when Halloween appears to have lost its fright, head witch in charge Michelle Visage flies to the rescue and casts a spell to deliver a big scare with the help of her global gaggle of dragools. Will Michelle save Halloween?
Of course she will. Of course she will.
Of course she will. I mean, it's Michelle Visage. She has to save Halloween.
Yeah, and that's actually, well, smart and cute and fun and all this stuff. But this ain't so smart, and this could be the end of the rule of somebody very, very big.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Now, the person who is dumb, for real, is Jimmy Donaldson, a.k.a. Mr. Beast. And this is all alleged, right, Chico? All alleged.
Yeah, the password is allegedly.
Okay. So, a YouTuber named Rosanna Panzino, and this is from...
Who, by the way, hosted her own show on Max back in the day called Fake-topia.
Okay. All right. She posted a video on X reviving conversations about previous allegations against Mr. Beast and Ava Chris Tyson. So in the video, she allegedly showed messages exchanged between Mr. Beast and employees, including Tyson. And that she is sending these messages to the FBI. Okay. And she is sending these chat logs from a Telegram channel that Mr. Beast, who was named John Smith, used to communicate with other employees. And I just don't want to say they were just, it was a meme fest that was not correct in any way, shape, or form. In any way, you know, She goes, she said, I reported what I found and my concerns to the authorities, FBI. Hopefully they will look into these company chat laws and other concerns. So, there's that.
There is that. And
okay, Gordon, is that percentage going up or down on the pin on Beast Games?
I honestly, I don't think it makes a difference. The network spent a whole lot of money on Beast Games, unless it is something that is ridiculously going to get everybody in trouble. I don't think this affects it. If you said Mr. Beast arrested for something legal, then that changes the needle. But being told maybe they're going to get sued for something that was said or not said by someone that may or may not have been Mr. Beast, that doesn't move the needle enough. But where there's smoke, there's fire. So it's not on fire yet, but it is smoking a little.
It is very smoky. Can we wash it down with some Haterade?
All right, so Jason Raff has been one of the showrunners on America's Got Talent for the past 19 seasons, but thanks to some budget cuts, he is being let go. In fact, he has been let go at the end of this past season. Sam Donnelly will serve as the sole showrunner for season 20.
Now, Gordon, you're a producer. Let's play a game here. Read between the lines. What's happening here for real?
What's happening for real is I think we, this time around, we're going to take it at face value. You have America's Got Talent. They have more acts. They have less ratings. And from a financial standpoint, anytime, and no offense to anybody, but this is how the world works, anytime that your money is slowly but surely going down the toilet to streaming or to anything else, what's going to happen is you're going to lose budget coming in because, again, advertising rates cost a dollar, even if you are the number one ranked show in the summer. So apparently they need to spend the money elsewhere. Does that mean America's Got Talent's going away next season? Probably not. But what it does mean is that if they're making changes, then this is part of the changes.
Yeah. And by the way, Jason Raff is not just an America's Got Talent guy. His resume is extensive. He's worked on Average Joe, The Wall, Clash of the Choirs, Celebrity Cooking Showdown, back when that was a thing. And according to Fremantle COO Suzanne Lopez, over the last 19 years, Jason has been instrumental in growing AGT to become the world's largest talent showcase. His vision and creativity are top-notch, and we are incredibly grateful for all of his contributions to the franchise.
If they really wanted him to stick around that badly, they would have stuck him around somewhere else. Wouldn't you think?
I mean, has he left Fremantle, or has he just left AGT?
I think he just left AGT. And given everything that's happened in the industry over the past years, in the past year or so, I would take this at face value. I mean, you know, when the money starts to dwindle, tough choices have to be made. This was one of those tough choices.
It is.
Yeah.
I guess.
But it is what it is. And other people are gonna be going on vacay. Where are they going?
Australia is nice this time of year. That's starting to warm up in Australia.
Ooh, it is.
It is, actually. It's actually getting warm right now. It's actually almost summer.
Yeah. Well, Australia is about to hit the floor because they have signed up for their own version of the floor with Roger Corser as host. He is a TV personality, and if you remember Flinch on Netflix, he was in that. It's actually a pretty decent show. It's about a bunch of Australians who are dead and came back to life in perfect health.
Hmm. And you also have another show about in the UK, right?
Yes. Taskmaster is getting a junior version for kids aged 18. For kids age 8 to 11.
That could be. That's sadistic, dude. No, I don't know about that.
Could it? Sadistic? Yes. Genius?
I'm actually gonna
also, yes. Alex Davies and Greg Horn, or Greg Davies and Alex Horn, nowhere to be seen. Rose Matafeo is your taskmaster, and Mike Wozniak is her assistant.
Okay.
And that
the question is, are there any media promasters?
Ha 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 ha. We'll find out November 8th in the UK and November 9th elsewhere on YouTube. But in the meantime, let's go over some pros, shall we?
I got pros. In different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, Pat Sajak was spotted at Game 4 of the World Series.
And he was also at Game 5, the clinching game. Yeah, so.
Ted Jennings reunites with John Liu on the set of Jeopardy. We talked about this. Ariana Maddox will guest star as herself on season 3 of Will Trent.
Oh, and also another Ken Jennings note. He and Richard Garfield, the head of the guy who created Magic, have a new Kickstarter game out. It's called Half Truth, Second Guess.
Equal to the original Half Truth.
Correct. And they have already got the thing funded, and it's got 2 weeks to go. Check Kickstarter and the word and. Half Truth Second Guess if you want to back the program and buy a game.
Yep. Isabella Strahan recently celebrated her 20th birthday. Congratulations.
Indeed.
She is a fighter. By the way, Daddy Michael Strahan will return to the studio to shoot the new season of Pyramid in January. Casting is underway at castingpyramid.com. Jay Lynch is dead. On the season finale of Only Murders in the Building.
Yes.
Billy Eichner teams up with Will Ferrell to bring back Billy on the Street as Loud White Men for Kamala, of which Jason is one. Riley Arnold is dancing with a tight end from USC, while Gleb Savchenko and Brooks Nader aren't dancing much anymore. I didn't even know they were a thing. And Adam Richmond was burgled out of some filming equipment out of his van.
Okay.
Now,
who is our pro of the week?
Our pro of the week, believe it or not, the Whammy!
What?
Follow me here. Sunday was the Halloween Spooktacular of Press Your Luck. One of the prizes was a Whammy costume. And it just so happens to be the one they used in 2002 for Whammy, the all-new Press Your Luck on Game Show Network. Only with a cape added.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Halloween episode was not very good monetarily.
So, and nobody won the costume, which, if you ask me, is kind of a buzzkill.
I just thought it would have been fun if they won the costume that they had to wear it the rest of the game. That would have been fun.
That would have been awesome.
Yes.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Pushing the button here.
Okay, that's a good button push. Okay, still to come. The doctor is in over his head. Yes, it's Ask Dr. Gordon as we celebrate our boy's birthday here on the World's Strongest. This is 5-1. Your home for We Love to Interrupt. We'll be right back.
Brain Vision News was brought to you by Win Juan Soto's money. We don't know if he's going to want the Yankees money, the Padres money, the Mets money, or whatever money, but we all know it's going to be a lot. It's Win Juan Soto's money, Aaron Judge hosts.
I would actually think it would be more of Win Juan Soto's 10% percentage that he will be giving to his agent.
Something of that ilk.
Maybe. That would be fun.
It would still be a lot of money. It would still be a lot of money.
It would be, though, I think if you ask Dr. Gordon, some of the other people on the Yankees team do not deserve the paychecks that they're going to be getting, especially after this evening. But we're not going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about Ask Dr. Gordon. I've got the hat. I've got the dark glasses. I'm not bald, sorry, but, you know, nobody's perfect. You bald by kind of meaning you. But I've heard that you and Jason have given me questions that I am going to answer to the best of my ability. To the chagrin of you and Jason and anybody else that's listening to this podcast right now.
Hey, that's accurate, but not really nice. Anyway.
Nice is a city in front.
Close enough. Okay, let's start with Dear Dr. Gordon. I had a really high profile job this summer, but unfortunately, with the end of the summer comes the end of my job. Is there any room in this world for someone who is both manipulative and cute, for someone who can bring the world laughter, tears, and a twist or two, for someone who can cause people to expect the unexpected? What do I do with my future now? Signed, Ainsley. Didn't even bother to give a pseudonym. Anyway, Gordon.
Dear Ainsley, it is really good that you said that because right now there is lots of work that needs to be done in November, especially the first week of November. You definitely could be used for cyber tracking down fake votes, especially in 7 different states, not necessarily California, that's going to be a snooze fest, but there are 7 different states that could definitely use your capabilities as someone that can maybe get a little janky with it once in a while, especially when it comes to determining who the next president of the United States is going to be. So I would say, hey, security would be fantastic. And maybe you'll get sued by the losers and make billions of dollars that you can donate to charity. That is from Dr. Gordon.
And I have a follow-up here. Dear Dr. Gordon, be bad, want money now. Be poor, signed Janky.
Dear Janky. OnlyFans. That's how you can make lots of money very quickly. OnlyFans.
Okay. I actually have a letter for you, Gordon. Okay?
Yes.
Dear Dr. Gordon. I've lived in Culver City for the past 16 years. I moved there September 8th, 2008. Only 3 people have actually have won me, but I've had a lot of chances to win. My friend Sarah was the last person to win me 10 years ago. I'm lonely. Will anyone finally pick me? Sign MDW.
Dear MDW, there's some guy named Juan that you may want to think about currying up, because I believe he'll be making around 600 of you, maybe even 700 of you. So you don't need to be lonely. You know what? Maybe they'll stick him on Celebrity Jeopardy, and whatever he wins there will be, I don't know, 0.001% of what he's going to be making in, a couple of months. So I would say that if all else fails, there's definitely some social platforms that are going to be needing your services, especially, again, depending on what happens, in 8 days or so. So, yeah, you'll be getting some friends, maybe, especially if they're lucky. That's all. Signed, Dr. Gordon.
All right, I got a letter now.
I kind of missed the question, I think. But okay, that's kind of cool.
All right, I got a letter.
Okay.
Dear Dr. Gordon.
Oh, no, I didn't miss the question at all. I just spun it in a different direction.
Oh, jeez, can we not? Anyway, my letter here. Dear Dr. Gordon, my wife and I had a high-profile job on a cruise ship, which led to me drawing pictures, playing Pictionary for 3 years. That led to me house-sitting for Julie. And I want to stay here forever. How is that at all possible? Or how can I make it so that I can stay here forever? Signed, Jerry.
Dear Jerry, first of all, congratulations on moving from a cruise ship to a nice big house with a Pictionary sign in the front to an even bigger house with Julie Chen. Because that's always fun. I would say in order to stay in the house, try to look for some side gigs. Maybe get an internship on another house that could be a little bit over the top, or even being a contestant on a celebrity version of Big Brother. That's what I would do, or throw wifey into the house, because why not? Because if you get her in, you'll get in also. That's my thoughts. Best of luck to you. Signed, Dr. Gordon.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, let me see if I can get this translated. Okay. Dear whoever you are, Gordon with Big Panama Hat.
I've got a big hat, baby.
Oh, jeez.
This ankle bracelet itches. I danced with it for once on ABC, and I learned and took absolutely nothing from it. Find me something to do. Signed, Anonymous.
Hello, dear Anonymous Anna, or Anonymous. Can I call you Anonymous? I'll call you Anonymous. Dear Anonymous. There is a phrase in the television industry right now which says, survive till 2025. That is what you need to do. You need to survive till 2025. Go find a bartending gig. That always works wonders. Try to find a jeweler. Try to maybe see if you can resuscitate that show on NBC for Love or Money and be one of the guests there, and then pawn off the, shall we say, bracelet as new jewelry. Because guys always dig new shiny jewelry, even if it's on an ankle. But you can do it, unless your real name is Royce. That's all. Sign, Dr. Gordon.
Hopefully, accent was okay.
Your accent was impeccable. That was the best Lithuanian Chinese accent I've ever heard.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Next one, Chico?
Next one. Dear Dr. Gordon, greetings from the UK. I am a legendary figure in the world of both game shows and darting. I want to give the gift of myself for the holidays, but do you think I could hit the bullseye with a global audience? Signed, Bully.
Dear Sully, if you really want to impress the United States and make everybody happy, especially with an anonymous, you should do a recreation of a cute little show in the UK called Dead Set. It's the Halloween season. Why not add zombies? We need zombies in a house. And maybe they'll be able to use the darts as deadly weapons, or you can use them because everybody likes using darts on zombies. I think that would be fantastic. Davina approves, by the way. Signed, Dr. Gordon.
Yeah, we are never getting a version of Bullseye in the U.S., I'm afraid. I'm sorry.
Darts are not...
We got the bulls part right. It would just not be eyes.
Last one.
I would love to see Dead Set. Remake everything else. We can remake Dead Set. Dead Set is awesome.
Okay, this may be... I will just say this, G. This letter may be a little weird, but if it goes through, I got this. Okay? Hi! Would you look at my...
When did being a little weird stop you before?
Hi.
Sometimes a little weird works.
Hi. You might have seen my assets and talents on several videos before. And I ran for governor in 2004 on GSN. Do you think I have a potential in politics now? Signed, MC. I hope you know who that MC is.
I do! I do!
Dear MC, if you wish to sleep your way to the top, I've got a couple of addresses for you. One, there's some guy in Brooklyn who really needs some comforting after his Yankees absolutely blew everything. And then there's this other guy in North Carolina who just needs hugs at this point because I don't know if he was on lithium before he started the show today. So I'll give you some addresses later on, and maybe they will help you at least feel a little bit better, because if you can't get to the presidential estate, at least maybe someone can find your Oval Office. Signed, Dr. Ford.
I'm glad he said Oval Office. Let's just say that. All right. I got one final letter.
There's a blue dress in the corner somewhere, I think.
After that, I don't think I want to. Okay, you know what? It's your birthday. I'll read it to you. Okay. Dear Dr.
Gordon. Hi, Jason Elliott, by the way.
Dear Dr. Gordon.
Shout out to Jason Elliott. Okay, next one, or last one.
Okay, last one. Dear Dr. Gordon, there are two types of people in the world, they say. People that watch Hallmark movies and liars. That being said, I've got an ugly sweater and a brick of a fruitcake with your name on it. Signed, Mr. Christmas, a.k.a. Father Christmas, a.k.a. Daddy Christmas.
Hello, Daddy Christmas. Dear Daddy Christmas. I'm not really that sort of person that celebrates the holidays like that. But if you're looking for somebody with really ugly sweaters, there's a guy I know that also likes to do Christmas shopping. And he's got some of the ugliest sweaters that I know. Especially when you're at that point, is it sleigh bells or can we listen to the beep? Beep, beep. Okay. So, but I know him, and he's got nothing but the best in ugly Christmas sweaters. You two will get along just swimmingly. The last time I checked, he was in the swamp anyway, with some sort of swamp thing. By the way, great episode with him and swamp thing. That's it. Listen to the beep. And with that, I am done. Signed, Dr. Gordon.
Happy birthday, Gordon.
David Rupert Jones, you. Thank you. This was fun.
It's always fun.
For my birthday, this was fun, and what would be just as fun, besides me burying the Yankees at this point, would be a break.
And we're going to have that one right after this. This is We Love to Interrupt. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Brain Vision has been brought to you by Celebrity Political Deathmatch. Live at Madison Square Garden. We've got Elon. We've got Bad Bunny and his Canadian destroyer. We've got Bill Gates. We've got Warren Buffett. We've got Dan Quayle. He is still living. So we have him all at the stage at Madison Square Garden. That's the birthplace of New York. Let's get ready to rumble. That is Celebrity Political Deathmatch. By the way, don't forget to vote. The life you save may be your own.
Well put, Gordon.
W-O-P-I, I guess.
Well put.
Indeed. And with that, we need to start a speed round, and we will do that now. I'll start with an easy one. Jeopardy, still Wheel of Champions for a hot second?
No Wheel of Champions for a hot second, but hey, we're in sweeps now, so anything's possible.
That you know, Pat Sajak and I have the same birthday. Just like to point that out.
Well, he's a happy man.
I always thought he was a Cubs fan myself, but anyway.
Speaking of Wheel of Fortune, Ryan Seacrest has been tossing out money like, you know, making it rain. Will he make $1 million rain, Josh? Will it hurricane for $1 million?
Oh, God.
You know, next week is November sweeps, the starting of there. And if we're giving out $100,000 now before November sweeps, and keep in mind, again, you can set this up in any order in Cindy Land, what will happen? I can see that happening.
I would love to see this happening.
Survivor, who will not be winning $1 million?
I still want to say Adam is overplaying his hand. Wait a minute.
Adam, I think, would be somebody good. Gabe, I think, could also be somebody. You have people that are alpha males that are starting to wear out that welcome. And at this point, this is when you get rid of the strong. Either through strength or through socialism, but you need to get rid of them now.
Oh, by the way, I said Adam. I meant Andy. My mistake.
Yeah, Andy's trying.
I know what you meant. Andy, yes. Andy and or Gabe, those would be my choices.
Dang.
Okay. I'm just trying to think. I don't know.
I got one. Global Drag Race is done. Do they revisit it?
Yes. Yes. It's still a hit. I don't, you know, remember. Remember, they have, what is it, like 30 franchises worldwide, something to that effect?
Yeah.
Close to. It ain't going anywhere anytime soon.
Oh, absolutely. It was, for all intents and purposes, this was a hit. And for those people who were Alyssa Edwards fans, it's a big hit for them. Yeah, and you could use this really as not just a redemption, but almost like a This Is Your Life Global here, we're going to give you this title sort of thing for the community. And don't think that they haven't thought of it. That's right.
Do we have any mail?
No, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTI, GameShowNewsNet.com, or you can follow us on all social media at GameShowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
I am at GFNN Hatery.
And of course, the network is at 5&1net. That is the number 5&ONENET, where we talk about anything and everything network wide, including something that we are talking about tomorrow or later today, as it is after midnight, Jay. We're going first on the field as we kick off week 8. Week 9. We go over week 8, we kick off week 9 in the NFL on the BS Big Show.
Because next Tuesday, well, when we do the show next, will be our first very early playoff picture.
Yeah, not only that, we are giving out, after that, our mid-season awards.
Yeah, next Tuesday. Yes.
So, like, who is your offensive player of the year, and why do you say Derrick Henry?
And who is your offensive rookie of the year, and why do you say Jaden Daniels?
And who is your most disappointing team of the year, and why do you say the Carolina Panthers?
No, they were not the most disappointing.
Because the answer is the New York Giants, not the Carolina Panthers. The answer is the New York Jets and not the Carolina Panthers. You knew the Panthers were going to be terrible this year.
Yeah.
But most people would give the Jets a playoff spot, and the only spot that they're going to be getting will be right next to the Yankees seeing golf in January.
Yeah, what's that say? If you expect disappointments, then you're never disappointed.
Oh, man. So, also over on the NAWC, we have a pay-per-view from Saudi Arabia. We have a pay-per-view to review, a pay-per-view from Saudi Arabia this week, the Road to Full Gear on AEW, and the Road to Survivor Series in Canada. So, there's that. Gordon, what's happening in the UBA?
In the UBA, we have match. All the districts have had two matches that are done. Some of them have had matches 3 and 4. Most of them will be taking match 3 this weekend. It will be fun, and then we're gearing up for the Thanksgiving stretch.
That's right. Well, as of this week, you know, Mariah gets defrosted, and it's all I want for Christmas is you, right?
Uh-huh.
Mariah Geddon to go along with Whamageddon.
Yes, starting, well...
And yes, Mariah Geddon is a thing.
Mariah Geddon is a thing, and all that good stuff. So, yeah, take us home.
Hold on. We have a new episode of It Was a Thing on TV, because it is Halloween today. Happy Halloween, everybody. We have a show about ghosts living in a house with a living that can see them. No, it is not that show. Let's just say Eric Idle of Monty Python is involved, and so is Stuart Pagan. It is really good. It's Dearly Departed, and that's one of the two new episodes this week. The other one is Throp with Diana Canova, Jonathan Prince, and a young Paul Walker. They're up at It Was a Thing on TV.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, they're up at itwasthingontv.com. Please give a listen.
So, what's happening next week?
Next week, we are talking about the Survivor Auction. And we haven't watched it yet, but we're going to. Our first ever Brutally Honest movie review?
That's right. I'll be doing that over the week. Yes, and you should be. You should, too. It's called A Woman of the Hour. It is based on, it is Anna Kendrick's movie directorial debut about the Ronnie Alcala case. He was the dating game killer. We want to see how the game show, or at least the game show at the time, The Element, how they depict game shows back in the 1970s. See if they get it right.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now. They have a guy who looks like Jim Lang, acts like Jim Lang, but legally, he is not Jim Lang.
And yes, exactly. So, again, we will check that out on Netflix this week, and we'll have a review next week.
Yep. Until then, for Gordon, for Jason, I'm Chico. And reminder, Tuesday is Election Day. This is the most important vote you will ever make, the most important choice you will ever make. Make it wisely. Until next week, game over. It's Breath of Love. Bit,
program.